We're to continue to look at the role of the husband in the home. And you're probably thinking, wow, how long are we going to stay in? But I want to, if that's what you're thinking, I want to change the thought pattern there and realize how significant of a job that a dad has in the home. Think about that. And you say, well, how, we've been on it such a long time. Well, there's so much to be said about it from God's Word. Therefore, we ought to think about how serious of a job it is. We as men think, you know, we've done our duty if we go to work and put food on the table. And for many, that should be done, that are not doing that. That's a start. But that is not what a Christian dad does only. There are other things. That's not what a Christian husband does. He is to provide for his home, because the Scripture says that if he doesn't, he's worse than an infidel. He that does not provide for his own house is worse than an infidel. But there's so much more to being a Christian husband than that. Now, in chapter 3, verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I think we're there. I think we're there. For men shall be lovers of their what? Own self. Now, let me stop right there. At a certain point, a man's got to realize he's a man, he's not a boy anymore. Amen. There used to be a day in this country where men, young boys, knew that they were a man. The Jewish nation has what they call a bar mitzvah. In other words, they're at 13, they're entering into manhood. In America, our culture today, we've taken away any ceremonial activity to help a man, help a young boy to understand, all right, now you're a man. Well, if our culture does not have that type of ceremonial cultural activity or certain day where, you know, an 18-year-old is, proves he's a manhood, and, different cultures throughout society has done this, and some still do. So right into manhood. And how many understand little kids are all about themselves? Amen. They are. I mean, we dote on them, we love them, etc. But at a certain point, a man's got to realize he is not there for himself anymore. For men shall be lovers of their what? Own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, thankful, unholy. And that's still going on today. How many parents are saying, hey, come to church? But they're not coming. You see, we're in the last days, and it's a mindset, and it's a heart problem, it's a spiritual problem. How do you deal with this type of mentality that is going on in this world? Well, if you go back in the chapter number 2, in verse 22, Paul says something very important here, verse 22. And dads, we have to understand, and the men have to understand, we have to live our lives in such a way that there's a demarcating understanding. In other words, there's a line where our sons and our daughters understand that my dad's not trying to be cool. He's trying to be dad. He's not trying to be my buddy. He's trying to be my dad. My husband's not trying to fit in with the boys he ran with. Now he's at home. He's taking care of business at home. And we're living in a day and age where this is there's a diminution of this understanding, this mentality, and this conviction. This is what manhood is. And Apostle Paul says this in chapter 2, verse 22. He says, flee also what? Youthful lust, but follow what? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Now, Timothy is giving, Paul is giving Timothy the instruction how to be a pastor. You remember I said Sunday that men are to pastor their homes like the pastor has been given instructions from God to pastor the church. And to know your role, to know what your job description is. And it's more than just going to work. And let me tell you something. Parenting does not, or being a man at home doesn't start when you get up and go to work. It starts when you get home from work. Amen. And how many of you are full of energy when you get home from work? I'm certainly not. But guess what? That's when the business begins. That's who I work for. That's where it begins, right there. It's not when I go to work, I've done my diligence, I've done my duty. No, my leadership begins at home. And you think about this truth right here. How many believe that the society is built, the cornerstone of society is built on the family? How many believe that? I hope you do, because that's the truth. And the family is built, the cornerstone of the family should be the Word of God, or maybe you say the Lord Jesus Christ. And so does the pastor go to your house and pastor your church? The answer to that is what? No. You see, my authority, my scope of authority and venue stops at a certain point in your life. And who takes that authority to the house? Who is pastoring that home when they're not at church? You see, when I was in played sports or whatever, my coach could tell me what to do on the field and on the football field and the baseball field and drop and give me 20 or run four laps, Miller, you missed the ball. And my dad wouldn't say a word. But let me tell you something. When I got off that field, that man was not my authority anymore. My daddy was my authority. And who, in other words, who's the authority that's representing God when your family leaves this house right here? Who's the authority there? You see, God blesses in an order. God blesses on an authoritative order. Who's the authority in the home? And see, this is what America has lost. God works and blesses through His representatives in His church, in society. Washington, D.C. needs to realize that God blesses a society that honors and respects what He wishes and not what the political campaign coffers' wishes are. And that's where we go wrong. You see, everybody's out for themselves today, but, you know, it takes work and it takes effort. And if you're going to have a successful marriage, you're going to have a successful family, then that's exactly what it takes. It takes work. And when you cross that, go into the town called work, you're going to go over a bridge called hard work. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing people, they don't want to work hard on the job. They certainly don't want to work hard at being a success. It's everything just goes, whatever's easy, you know. You see bumper stickers, forget work, let's go fishing. Fishing is not going to keep the house together. You see, it's if you want a successful home, you want a successful marriage built on God's word, it has to go through a town called work. And before you get to that town called work, it's going to go over a bridge called hard work. And under people understanding their roles that they play here, and fleeing these useful lusts, but follow after righteousness, things that are right, faith. And we talked about charity, agape love and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, verse 24, Paul is telling Timothy how to pastor a church. And this is how men are to pastor the home. And the servant of the Lord must not what? You see, strive. Now, we went over Sunday how the man is to stand in the position of agape. He's a God's representative in the home. And when, you know, you speak the truth, you preach the Word of God or teach it in your home, this is what the Word of God says. And, you know, and if the folks don't want to go along, say the one spouse or the other don't want to go along, how many remember we looked at Eli in the Bible? Let me tell you something. Now, I don't say this lightly. And before you make an opinion on it, you need to think about people that you perhaps know. But when people don't want to follow God, and God is word, and there are people in that home that do want to follow God, let me tell you something. God doesn't expect the person who is following God to go on a rampage, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let me just tell you this. Now, here's my statement. God will not go to jail for what he does. Let me say that again. God will not go to jail for what he does. What did he do to Eli? He took him out. I'm going to tell you something. Our God is in a serious business of trying to get Christian people's attention. There's hospital calls and, you know, and oh, I flipped my car three times. There's all kind of attention getters our God tries to get with people. There's all kind of ways he tries to get our attention. When Eli, he had already spoken to him and said, "Look, Eli, I'm going to judge your house, son. If you don't get it in order, I'm going to judge you." But he didn't listen. And not only was he eliminated on this earth, but his two sons were as well. I'm going to tell you something. You see, our position as leaders in homes and our leaders, leaders in our home and our position as leaders is an incredibly serious thing because society is built on what you do in your home. Amen. You see, in many ways, we have a more important job than the president or even the pastor or a police or a doctor because what goes on in that home will sooner or later culturally speak for an entire nation. And we've got homes just being plundered and for a variety of reasons, mainly because of youthful lust, still men trying to handle problems like they did when they were five, putting their fists through the wall and, you know, and this kind of thing. And it's all because of a lack of a biblical training, how to handle problems in the home and understand that God ordained marriage, not a politician. You can't redefine marriage. It's already defined. You see, realizing that, you know, as you grow up, you got a man-sized job ahead of you, and we need God to do it. And the servant of the Lord must not what? Strive. You with me? But be what? I like that word. You say, my husband's not gentle. Well, the question now needs to be posed. Are you doing something that provokes ungentleness? Is there a breakdown in communication? Is he expressing words but not getting the deeds to follow? You see, that is what leadership is, biblical leadership. You don't have to be hard, but there has to be an understanding on both parties. Look, everybody has a role. The man is to love and lead. The woman is to respect and follow. And of course, that has a lot of talking together about many things and coming to a consensus on things, but God puts a leader in position when you really don't know what to do. God puts a leader there to say, this is what we're going to do. That's what leadership is. This is what I believe God wants us to do. And that's the way this thing is designed. Be gentle unto what? All men. What's the next word here? You see, God wants us teaching in the home, okay? The next word here is patient, and notice here, verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that what? I'm going to tell you something. Nothing will make any person madder than somebody that they love, when they see somebody they love doing something utterly foolish. How many of you say amen there? I mean, it's like a Tasmanian devil. But here's the thing. Is that how we're going to handle when they do stuff like this? That's not how God tells the pastor to handle things. He says, in meekness, in what? Meekness. Meekness is you have your power. You have the power. Yeah, you can come down hard, but it's under control. It's power under control. It has a gentleness to it, has a meekness to it. And yes, sometimes you read Jesus when he was dealing with people, the Bible says you looked upon them with anger. How many of you parents understand that anger, a look of anger, not anger expression, but a look of anger can get something done real quick? Nothing wrong with that. But in meekness, instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. And that's what a man in the home is to be doing. He's to be discerning. Say, no, we don't have that in the home. We're not going to do that in the home. We're not going to have this in the home. That's not good. That's going to be opposing ourselves. God wants to bless us, you know, and we don't need that in the home. And I went to church, and I've realized what kind of environment we need in the home. I went to church, and I've learned some things in Sunday school, and I've learned some things in preaching from the Word of God, that this is what needs to be in our home. We're just not going to have that because that's going to be opposing ourselves. You see, he said, in meekness, instructing those and oppose themselves, if God pre-adventure will give them what? Repentance. A pastor doesn't go around and say, boy, when are you going to get right with God? I can do that. But here's the thing. There won't be any spiritual growth unless the person comes to that decision on their own with God. And parenting, many times our kids are 30 years old acting immature because we've made all their decisions. We're jumping in front. Let them make those decisions. And if they don't, you just sit them back and let them keep falling down. And when they fall down enough, they will listen. But as long as we're band-aiding their life, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God prevents you, we give them repentance to what? The acknowledging of the truth. Now here's a good one. Verse 26. And that they may what? That you may recover them. What does it say? That the pastor may recover them. What is this teaching right here? It's teaching something we have lost in this country. It's called personal responsibility and accountability for yourself. That ruggedism that you know, I'm accountable to God. God's got something for me to do. I'm going to go out and, you know, start a town in the Montana Territory where there's Indians and that kind of individualism. Well, I don't need mommy and skirt tail. I don't need the government. I don't need this person. I know God. I want God in my life. God has called me to do something. That kind of individualism where I'm accountable to God myself instead of, you know, I don't want anything to do with God. But they learn to deal with their problems and behavioral problems themselves, and they that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive at by him at his will. And that's because they were not trained in some cases. Sometimes it's because they were given truths and just totally ignored it. You see, a man in the home is to be, let's go to Isaiah chapter 6 real quick. He's to be teaching in his home. Somebody has to be teaching while they're not around the pastor. Somebody has to be teaching while they're not around the teacher in Sunday school. Somebody has to be giving the word of God constantly, diligently, every day. While they're not there. Most kids don't even get an ounce of Bible nowadays. This is why our country is being so brainwashed. There's nothing that's being given to the little child when they go to a humanistic public school system. You see, that's the reason why they're just going with the herd mentality. And when a politician says something, you know, it's always amazing. I'll give you an example. People say, they come out with these little cliches, and it's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to stand on this side, and this is what I'm going to say to people. You know, Democrats say, Republican wants dirty air and dirty water. And then everybody else goes, yeah, you Republicans want dirty air and dirty water. Now, again, I'm not a diehard Republican. I'm a biblicist. Whatever the Bible says, that's how I'm going to vote. But I'm just telling you, people don't even think. Republicans want their children drinking dirty water. You see what I'm saying? There's no thinking for ourselves anymore. Somebody else is doing it. You know, Republicans love their children too. They don't want them breathing dirty, toxic air. They don't want them breathing dirty water, drinking dirty water either. But you see, we've lost this individual of I'm accountable to myself. I have to think for myself. We've lost that. We've got things and gadgets and people and teaching us everything. But the teaching in the home is a place where mom and dad are to be recreator advisors and entertain the children for 18 years. That's what homes have become, where it's just entertainment. It's football to basketball and basketball to whatever and just sports after sports after sports. And that's all you are. That's why we get the term soccer mom, or you see bumper stickers on the van. It says mom's taxi. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. That's how our culture has come, where it's come to. We're living in a culture that wasn't here in 1945. It wasn't here in 1920, back when we were great. We've gotten a culture where it's all about ourselves. It's all about everybody, but developing the individual in the home in the fear of God. Who's the authority supposed to do that in the home? Well, that's the man's job. In verse number 1 in Isaiah 6, the Bible says, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple. You see, Uzziah died. He was a king. He's a politician. Isaiah had his hopes in his politician. And until America gets their hope out of a politician, and we get back to doing what we ought to do as individuals in our homes, this country's not going to be turned around. You see, in the year the politician died, in the year that Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. You see, not until things are put in this proper place and this proper order are we going to see the Lord do something. I mean, you say amen right there. You see, whose job is it to make sure that things are in order in the home? You see, that comes back to the man in the home. And we got to get our eyes off everything else and politics and every other thing and get our eyes back on the Lord and realize that we have been given a divine commission from God to stand in the gap, to teach our children the word of God in the home. And the Bible says it also in Isaiah, when thou sittest down, when thou risest up, teach your children these things. And it's a daily teach them these things. And that comes back to the man in the home. You see, the Bible says in verse 25 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, in meekness instructing. Who's going to give the instructing? Who's going to give it? That it comes back to the man in the home because God has put him there and also the wife to help him in these certainly most important matters for sure. Because let's skip over to verse 3 in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. Okay. He says this, for the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teaching after itching ears. In other words, don't tell me what I need to be doing. Just tell me how good I am. Tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me how good and successful I'm going to be, not how broke I am now. You know, tell me how wonderful my future is, even though I'm living in a terrible time in my life. You see, that's they won't endure the word of God that will build their life. And this is where we're at in this country. Now, I want to back up in chapter 6, verse 16 of chapter 3, if you would. Let's go to verse 15. Let's put this all together, okay? 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. And that from a what? Child. Thou hast known how to throw a fastball. That from a child that has known how to skin a buck. Thou from a child that has known how to play PlayStation. Thou from a child thou has learned how to paint graffiti. Thou from a child that has known how to watch pornography. Thou from a child thou has known how to skip school. Thou from a child thou has known how to disrespect and disobey a parent. Thou from a child has known how to disrespect and disobey authority and police officers, etc., etc., etc. Thou from a child. Am I describing America or not? This verse right here is not in many Christian homes, much less America. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And even tells who our salvation and wisdom should lie in, Christ Jesus. And he goes on to tell, what are you to teach, Timothy? What is a man supposed to teach in the home? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why is that in there? Because it's in there to tell us, because all of those vain babblings, people will say, man wrote the Bible. The Bible's not true. There's new updated intelligence data out there that we can raise our children on. Let me tell you something. No man on this earth, their intellect will never be superior to an almighty God. And God has said all Scripture is given by him, by inspiration of the intellectual one, by the all-wise one, the all-knowing, omnipresent, omnipotent one of all eternity. We cannot better make this book we have here tonight better, the Holy Word of God. It is perfect. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. What father, what man does not want his home to be blessed and profitable? In other words, just goodness. It doesn't necessarily mean financial there. The word, it means just benefiting, moving forward, successful, okay? And he tells us how to do this. What are we to teach? We're to teach for what? Doctrine. This tells us how to do things. This is our belief system, our beliefs and teachings. And what does doctrine do? It reproves us. And men today do not want to be told where they're wrong. I'll just, you know, raise my boy, my family, and my home my way. Well, that's a problem. It's my way. God is superior in knowledge and understanding, and he gives us his way. You see, reproof tells us where we're wrong. For correction, that tells us how to get right, okay? What to do, how to fix things. For instruction in righteousness, that tells us how to stay right. Instruction in the right things. And he tells us the result of this, that the man of God, or that your children, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. In other words, that doesn't mean he's sinless, but it means he's mature. He not just he gets up and goes to work, but his spirit is mature. His emotions are mature. He knows how to handle problems in the home. He knows how to handle things in meekness. He knows that he doesn't have to strive and throw things around in the home. He knows that how he needs to be gentle in the home. He knows that he needs to be teaching and be patient in the home. He knows that he is instructing in the home, but he's instructing in meekness and in the fear of God, that God will give grace and God will give a blessing in these things that he's doing. You see, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. You see, parents want the good works, but you can't have the good works without the good doctrine first. You see, and this is why, if there's one guy on the planet that should know and have studied and have at least a framework of how God wants the home to run, it's the pastor, because as I said Sunday, he is the only guy that I know that has to have his home, not perfect, but blameless, so that he can hold the position that he holds. You see, that puts a responsibility here. But that stops, my responsibility stops when the people leave the church. And God has to have a representative there in the home. And he has one. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's a single mom or or grandmother, whatever the case may be. But the fact of the matter is, thank God forever who's there standing for the Lord. But God wants somebody there standing and giving this instruction, this doctrine, and in righteousness. Okay? So we understand that the role of a husband and the role of a dad, a man in the home, it's just more, it's more than going to work. It's a maturing ourselves in the Word of God that we can teach. And when things get tough, they see dad's got to walk. They see the husband's got to walk when things are getting tough. They see when they've lost a job, you know, he's not over there, you know, fussing and cussing and everything else, but he's praying. So you know what? Hey, God's been good to us. God's going to get us through this thing. I just know it. He's been so good. You know, they need to see that faith, you know, and they don't need to see, well, you know, I'm the man in this house and I'm going to get it done. That's self-will. We want God's will. Amen. That's God's power blessing and flowing through our lives. It's such a different mindset in how to look at this thing. And you see, when we're doing the teaching and we're realizing that family is God's, I'm not there to dictate. I'm there to oversee. Dictators always end. You see, and that's a lot of times how men try to run their homes. Hey, dictatorships. I don't care if it's a church. I don't care if it's a nation. I don't care if it's a home. It always ends. Number one, that's rule number one. You can take that to the bank. Number two, it will always end nasty. The third thing is, you just don't know when it's going to end, but it will end. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Just as bad as a dictatorship is bad, not doing anything is even worse. At least with a dictator, there is some order. Amen. So don't get too hard on the dictator. If we're just sitting back and letting our homes and things we've been put in charge of just float through the breeze and just go along to get along. God puts people into position and holds those people accountable. He held Eli accountable. He said, look, you're not doing your job, Bubba. And I'm going to hold you accountable for this. You see, he was passive and God still held him accountable. He didn't restrain his children. Our jobs, men in the home, is so important. It really gives the direction for the nation. Amen. And we've got boys, celebrating their 30, 40-year-old birthdays. But they're boys. Amen. Sad, but true. Somewhere along the line, something will happen. Hopefully, that they'll come to their knowledge that they need God. They need to do it a different way. Oftentimes, that's a sad thing that brings it to that, isn't it? It's sad. Such a sad commentary we have in this country. And that's not by accident. Satan has designed our culture. He has been so manipulative in our culture to pull people away from truth, away from church. You know, you can live in America and live a materially blessed life and not have God anywhere in your life. We've gotten so used to being independent of God. I'm afraid we're living in a day and age where all that's going to come to an end. And I very well could see it in my lifetime. Lord knows I don't. But when things like that happen, that's when we need dads, husbands saying, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But how are people going to do that? They've never done it. They have to learn it in crisis mode, which is never a good way to learn. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your goodness. Help us to be the men of God that you have us to be in our homes. Dealing with things in the right way and having a voluminous understanding of your word that we can expound our and know what's right and what's wrong and handle things in the right spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.